It's a joy to be here, and we've not been here for a few years, so some of you may recognize us. There may be others that didn't, but it's lovely to be back in this house, a house of his presence. It's a house of joy. It's a house of the impossible of heaven made possible. Yeah. And we just want to encourage you in that God has so much more for you. This is just the beginning of your legacy as a church. And God wants to pour out so much of his spirit and is doing so at the moment. So I know you are hungry people. Have we got any hungry and thirsty people?
Yeah,
yes. Amen.
Hungry,
well, may the Holy Spirit fill you today and give you a fresh impartation of his fire and his love. You know, we'd be remiss if from Catch the Fire we don't send you some fire your way. But we know it comes from heaven. So, Father, all that you've got planned for your people today, that they would receive it from you and would receive a supercharge from heaven of your glory and your presence and power. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Love you. I'm blessed to be married to the best looking lady in the house. Sorry about that, all the other ladies. But Kate and I have been married for 34 years, which I thought was quite a long time, but I'm with a lot of old friends here, and they're old friends as in we've been friends for a long time, but, you know, that means we're all old friends. And I was talking with somebody yesterday, and they said they'd been married for 40-something years. I'm like, wow, that is a long time. So congratulations to all of you that have been married a long time. What a privilege and a joy that was for Kate and I to just experience the way in which you as a church honored the veterans of our beloved country and nation, the United States of America. And that was amazing. That was outstanding. I videoed it. I'm like taking videos for, you know, the family back home, the church back home. And Kate and I are from Raleigh, North Carolina. Bet y'all can tell that, right? Yeah, we've been there for like 20 years. No, but I was born in Nigeria to English parents, and they sent me to an American boarding school in Nigeria in order to, you know, when I was 5 years old, they sent me to school, and didn't really get to see my parents very much, which is why I've had an outstanding journey really through Toronto and powerful ministers of the Father's love, such as your very own Ed and Janet Purek. Eddie Purek, I just want to honor you, Eddie. You've been an outstanding influence in both Kate and I's lives. And your whole message on the central event, the love that finds you. And just when we thought that that was the best message we'd ever heard, in Toronto, when Eddie preached on the love that finds you. And John Arnott, my pastor, and I looked at each other, and John said, how in the world could you get a better sermon than that? That was incredible. And we were both undone. And then that was in the evening. And then the very next morning, it's Ed again, and he preaches on the love that sends you. And we're all like, oh my gosh, you know. He just topped the love that finds you with the love that sends you. And it was just one of those outstanding moments in our lives. And we've been so blessed through this revival that has just been going on. Actually, I think really it started in Southern California. I watched the Jesus Revolution, and I realized that the whole Toronto revival that we are part of, Kate and I, and that all y'all, many of you have been amazingly touched by. But sitting with Pastor Mike and Janice, and by the way, thank you so much for inviting me again, and Kate. We just love this house. And when I heard that you were happy for us to speak as well, and wanted us to speak, because we were here this weekend for the wedding, the Peterson wedding, which was Grace and Andrew's wedding, Eric and Cindy's daughter. And so they got married yesterday, which was a very, very special wedding, I might say. You know you're at a really amazing wedding when they serve you sea bass. You know, you're at an amazing wedding. And but it was beautiful and spectacular, not just because the wedding itself was exquisite, but the actual love that was so evident between Grace and Andrew was just so moving and so touching. It was just outstanding. But this amazing revival that has been exploding all over the world, I was thinking it started in 94 when the Holy Spirit really crashed in Toronto. But then I discovered that no, actually it goes right back, goes into John Wimber's days. Of course, our church, the Toronto Airport Christian Fellowship, was first the Toronto Airport Vineyard Christian Fellowship. We're a vineyard church. And so actually John Wimber had stewarded the revival so amazingly well. But then it goes even before John Wimber, right back into the Jesus Revolution that happened. And when I watched that movie in the theater, all my friends had watched it, but I had been traveling somewhere in the world. And so I came back and I couldn't find anybody to watch it with. So I went on my own, which is the only time I've ever been to the theater on my own. And I just sat there on my own with tears just streaming down my face as I'm watching the really kind of the origins in the United States of this current amazing move of God that's still sweeping all over the earth. And it was right here in Southern California. And I just, shakaraba. Oh, I feel the anointing of the Holy. Sorry, I didn't mean to hurt your ears there. It was a bit louder than I thought. But, ho! Oh, it's amazing to be here. You are a people in a land of revival. The very soil of this entire region is saturated in the glory of God. It's not an accident that he chose this place, this whole region of Southern California. It's not an accident that he chose this place for a great move of God that has just swept the nations of the world. And for Kate and I to be here, whoa, it is. I've been feeling the glory of God so thick and so strong on me. And I'm feeling it right now. It's just so amazing. And this revival has been marked with great signs and wonders, great manifestations of the Spirit, and great outpouring of love. The love of God being poured out in this world in the most amazing way. And yet the United States of America has had a number of great awakenings. And every time those great awakenings have taken hold of, they've been started by godly people who know and understand that Jesus came not to start a religion, but came to give us relationship. The very relationship that he had had eternally with his Father, he's now made available for us to have that same relationship with his Father and with him. And that very relationship is the very person of the Holy Spirit himself. The love that has eternally flowed between the lover and the beloved, the love himself, the Holy Spirit, has been given to us. And this amazing revival has been not just demonstrations of the Spirit's power, which has been incredible, but has come from the restoration of the people that are godly in relationship and therefore with God, therefore hungry for him, hungry for his presence, hungry for his love, touching basically churchianity that's been all over this nation. And for us in North Carolina, there's a lot of churchianity. I'm sure there is here in California too. But when the love of God breaks in, it's bye-bye churchianity and hello Christianity. That's the reality. And this whole revival has been a great moving, sweeping of people, wonderful, amazing people who love God, but somehow or other have ended up attending church and warming the pews. And, you know, I go to church. They talk about I go to church more than they talk about their actual relationship with Jesus. But it's been also a revival in which people that have been very, very worldly have been swept into the kingdom of heaven because God loves them
outrageously and sent his beloved son Jesus to win them. And he won them. And Kate said to me this morning, she said, it's Veterans Day this week. And you know who the greatest veteran is of all? Jesus Christ. Because he came and he conquered the world for the Father and took us all back to him. So he's actually the greatest veteran that we can celebrate today, which I thought was a brilliant word that you woke up to, Kate. And so it's just a joy to be in this house, which is, this church was started by Mike and Janice, planted out of Eddie and Janet's church in Mission Viejo. And I enjoyed hearing the story again last night because I had the joy of sitting with Mike and Janice. And I just got so touched by the clear working of the Holy Spirit from the very inception of this church. He planted it into Mike and Janice's heart, into Eddie and Janet's heart. Mike and Janice came here, planted this church, and you know what? They planted this church in the Holy Spirit. They planted this church to be a church of his presence. They planted this church to be a church abounding in the love of our Heavenly Daddy. They planted this church to be a church where the gospel of Jesus Christ was made known and preached. And they planted this church to be a church to reach the poor. That is the kind of church that Jesus really, really, really loves. And it's just an honor to be here today. And the word that the Lord has given me for you is a word that he has been burning on my heart for about 18 months. And I've been sharing this word around the world to many of our churches and churches at large, churches that are not part of our movement per se, but are churches that are hungry for God. And I want you to turn with me to a very famous passage of Scripture, the name of it, which is in Revelation and chapter 2. And we're going to start in verse 1. And this is a famous passage of Scripture. And I'd like to ask you, because it is famous, that you actually remain open to let the Holy Spirit speak to you and that you don't have a foregone conclusion about what I'm about to preach, okay? The title of my message is Return to Your First Love. So right there, you can see why I put that caveat out. Keep your heart open to this message because God spoke this fresh to me and I really believe he wants to speak it fresh to all y'all in this house. And as I'm preaching, and as we're going to read the word, and as I preach this message, I want you to receive this message to your own heart, so that when you see Jesus is speaking to the church of Ephesus, the very fact that his words are written and recorded for us all means he's speaking it to Duncan Smith today. He's speaking it to each of us today, because each of us, he's inviting us to a higher level of encounter with him. All right, here we go. Revelation 2, verse 1. Holy Spirit, would you just open our eyes to something new and fresh for your glory? In Jesus' name, amen. To the angel of the church in Ephesus, write, the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands, I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sakes, and you have not grown weary. Wow, things are going really well right here, aren't they? I would love it if Jesus spoke that commendation to me, to my life. But fasten your seatbelts. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first, or as some translations say, you have abandoned your first love. Remember, therefore, where you have fallen. Repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Yet this you have. You hate the works of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. This is the word of the Lord. Sheka bongu, benge banga babalolua. Which, by the way, I know all of what all of those words mean, even though they were a tongue given to me in Kyrgyzstan. I found out from a bunch of African friends that they are each African language words. And babalolua means, my daddy is the Lord my God. That's pretty cool. It's Yoruba from Nigeria. Anyway, so this passage of Scripture has bothered me my whole adult life. I don't know if there's anybody else in this room, but whenever I read this Scripture, I'm one of those tender-hearted people towards God, and I'm like, oh, Jesus, I'm so sorry. I've lost my first love. And I'm just so self-conscious in His presence that I don't love Him well enough. I don't pray anywhere near as much as I would like to think I can and that I would if I just could. And, you know, I'm the sort of person, I set my alarm, you know, I hear someone preaching on the importance of prayer and getting up early with the Lord. And I'm the kind of person who's like, that's me. Tomorrow it starts. I'm all in. Absolutely. I set my alarm 5 a.m. and I'm all for it the night before. 5 a.m. rolls around and I'm in my bed and I roll around again in my bed and I hit the snooze button and then the snooze button and finally I throw the alarm clock out the window because I don't know, my flesh is really weak. When I read in the Scriptures, the flesh is weak, the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak, as Jesus said to His disciples, I'm like, absolutely, Lord, that's me. If I'd been in the Garden of Gethsemane, I would have been snoozing and snoring right there with Peter, James, and John. You know what I'm saying? You know, I know that there are many of you in this room that are probably thinking, that's too bad for you, Sunbeam. But we're not like that. We're like all in for Jesus. But for people like me, I just find it really a struggle. And so fasting, I'm so glad that it's called breakfast because I get to break my fast every single morning. And so I'm so thankful for the name of the morning food being breakfast, because that's about the best fasting that I do in my life, is from somewhere around 10 o'clock when I have my last snack at night until somewhere around 8 o'clock when I break my fast, you know. And so I'm a real faster, and I love fast motorcycles and I love fast cars. And so, you know, that's when I'm fasting. Yeah, that's my fast. And I'm joking a little bit, but I want to get under your skin. I want you to be able to get in touch with the reality that if we're really, really honest, most of us in this room, we would say, yes, it's true. I've fallen from my first love. I wish I loved Jesus like I did when I was first saved. How many of you in this room, when you were first saved, your heart was just so burning with love for Jesus that almost everything that I've just said didn't count in those days? It was like, fasting, I'm all in. Prayer, I'm all in. Prayer meetings, early morning prayer meetings, I was there. Holding hands up in the church during worship, it wasn't even something that I thought about. It was just spontaneous love for Jesus. Witnessing and sharing my faith out on the streets or in the university, whatever it might be. For me, it was so easy. But these days, now, somehow, I don't know what it is, but I just have all these regrets and I have all this sense of unworthiness that somehow I'm just not loving Jesus the way I used to and the way I know He's worthy of and the way I want to love Him, but I just don't know how to love Him and I keep screwing up. That's the subconscious condition of my heart. 18 months ago when the Holy Spirit spoke to me, I like to read my Bible through from cover to cover each year because spontaneity is the reward of discipline. And my wife said to me, she just got back from L.A. in 1988, And she wasn't my wife at the time. I really wanted her to become my girlfriend. And she said to me, you know, we were talking about how we read the Bible. And she said to me, you know, your Bible reading is very inadequate. It just, you could do with polishing that up. I'm like, really? She's like, yeah, I've just come back from YWAM. And we were taught the importance of reading the Bible from cover to cover. And not just, you know, picking out little verses because you like them, your favorite verses for the day, you know? I'm like, well, I'm a very competitive person. I was like, well, show me what you do. So she did, and I'm like, I'm doing that. So I've been doing that for 38 years, every year. And the thing about reading the Bible from cover to cover is that there's a discipline involved, but it also means that you read quite a few verses, and you kind of do miss those days when you just could take out the vitamins, you know? But the reality is the whole Word of God's going in you when you read the full counsel of God. So I just want to emphasize to all y'all that are here, please read your Bibles, everybody, okay? And don't have a walk with God that is based on social media. It's a disaster, okay? Walk with God in the secret place of your life, reading the Scriptures every day and letting the Holy Spirit speak to you more than some influencer on social media. And so anyway, as I was reading through Revelation, I came to this, and suddenly the Holy Spirit opened my eyes to something, and I realized I'd got the whole of this message messed up in my heart. And I'm not the only one, because I've heard a lot of messages, and I've preached a lot of messages myself, that returning to your first love is about returning to when you loved Jesus so much when you were first saved. But actually, the Lord revealed to me, that's actually not what this scripture is saying. That's not what Jesus is saying necessarily in its entirety. In fact, but I can say this. It might be something of what he's saying. There might be truth in what I just spent the last 10 minutes talking about. But that's not the main point that Jesus is making to the church. Because it's important for us to remind ourselves he's speaking to the church of Ephesus. So maybe if he's saying, repent and do what the works that you did at first. And it was those words, repent and do the works that you did at first, that took me aback. And I read, oh, wow, he's not talking about repent and go back to the intimacy that you had with me at first. Right. He's saying, repent and go back to the works that you did at first. But anybody who knows anything about the heart of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, as demonstrated by Jesus' life for 3 years in his ministry on earth, where Jesus over and over and over kept saying, the works that I do are not my works. It's my Father living in me who does his works. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me, not only will they do the things that I do, the works that I do, but even greater works will they do in my name, because I go to the Father. Philip, have I not been with you for so long that you don't know me? Don't you realize it's not me who does the works? It's my Father living in me. John 5:19, the Son can do nothing of himself, but only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son does in like manner. The Father loves the Son, John 5:20, and shows him all he does. He shows him all of his works. So these works, contextually, scripturally, Jesus is saying the works are the supernatural things that only the Father living in you can do. And he's saying to the church of Ephesus, repent from where you've fallen and go back to doing the works, the supernatural miracle signs and wonders that you did at first. Okay, look at this. It's amazing. It just blew me up in my spirit. Verse 20, Revelation 2:2, I know your works. He's not saying, I know the Father's works that he's doing in you. He's saying, I know your works. I know your toil. I know your patient endurance. He's commending. This is all amazing, guys. This is incredible. Thank you for all your hard work. Thank you for your patient endurance. Thank you for not bearing with those who are evil. Thank you for patiently enduring and bearing up for my name's sakes. Thank you for all that you do. It's all amazing. But actually, I'm not looking for you to live a life for me. I'm looking to live my life through you. I'm looking, and my Father's looking, for those who know that it's actually not about what you can do for God. It's all about what God, who God is, and what God wants to do through you for the world. Because what you do lasts a little while. It can make you feel like somehow you're spiritual, but it actually is ineffective in this world. And so a lot of us as Christians, we're centered on what we can do for God. But Christianity is not about making a sacrifice for God. Christianity is about God made a sacrifice for man. That's Reinhard Bonnke quote. And so here we have Jesus coming to the church of Ephesus and saying, I know all of these amazing things that you do, but I want you to repent from what you do, and I want you to get back to what you did at first, the works that you did at first, because those works are totally different than what you're doing right now. So let's turn with us to the book of Acts and chapter 19, and let's have a look at what those first works were, because he's saying, go back to what you did at the beginning. And you're like, okay, well, thank goodness scripture tells us how the church in Acts started. And the church of Ephesus tells us in Acts how the church in Ephesus started. And you know what? It started a lot like this church started. A lot like this church started. And remember, I'm not talking about this church as in Vineyard Laguna Niguel and what Pastors Mike and Janice do. I'm not saying that to all y'all this morning. I'm saying the Holy Spirit wants to remind you about your life. This is all about us as individuals. This is as much to me a message, okay? Not to the corporate church of this house. This is to the individuals, all of us that are here this morning. Verse Acts 19:1. And it happened. Wow, whenever you read it happened, you know something significant. And it happened. The while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the inland country and came to Ephesus. This is the first time we read about Ephesus. And there he found some disciples. And he said to them, hey guys, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said, no. We've not even heard that there's even a Holy Spirit. And he said, Into what then were you baptized? And they said, well, into John's baptism, meaning into a baptism of repentance of our sins. And Paul said, well, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling people to believe in the one who is to come after him, that is Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying. And then look at verse 7. There were about 12 men in all. You know, when you read something like that, you think, wow, there's like 1,000 people there, you know, 3,000 like there were on the day of Pentecost. There were 12 men, just 12 men. Now think about this church and when it was started. I bet in the very beginning, there probably wasn't that much more than 12 people or so that had that burning desire to, you know, to leave Mission Veo and go to Laguna Niguel and plant this church. But here's the thing, okay? It doesn't matter how many people start a church. What counts is whether those people are filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what counts. That's what counts because these 13 people, the Apostle Paul, and these 12 men that were baptized in the Holy Spirit, if you and I were to continue reading through Acts 19, you would see that they turned this whole city of Ephesus completely upside down. In fact, we'll just read a little bit. It says, Paul entered the synagogue, and for 3 months he preached there, reasoning and persuading them about the kingdom of God. And then he withdrew and took his disciples with him, reasoning daily in the hall of Tyrannus. And this continued for 2 years, so that all the residents of Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. Guys, this is not an exaggeration. In 2 years, Paul and the 12, who then found others who laid hands on them, and they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, who then received their baptism of the Holy Spirit, and so on, in the vision of multiplication, the entire of Asia heard the word of the Lord in 2 years. Because that's what can happen when just 12 people are filled with the Holy Spirit. You know why the world is in such a mess in so many places? Because the church are behind the same four walls, doing the same thing of trying to please Jesus, trying to return back to their first love, trying to love him well, trying to pray more, trying to fast more, trying to give more to the poor, trying to do whatever they can to live a life that somehow pleases God, somehow by going to church and being part of the church, that we miss the whole plot, which is be filled with the Holy Spirit and go into your workplace and your favorite restaurants and your favorite neighborhood and the place that you live, your home, your family, and full of the Holy Spirit, let the Father do the most amazing miracles and signs and wonders through you. And if you just do that, just do that, just 12 of you do that, you'll turn the whole of Southern California upside down. Amen. That's it. That's all he's looking for. And he's not looking for you to try to love him better. He knows you can't. That's why he came. See, he loves the Father perfectly. And he worships the Father perfectly. And the Father is looking for those who will love him and worship him perfectly. And so he knows he can't find any of us in Adam. So what does he do? He sends his beloved son to be the last Adam and to live the perfect life that all of us want to live, but we can't live, should live, but we won't live. Jesus came and lived it for us, so that by just believing in Jesus, we now become the full sons and daughters of God, who are just as much the children of God as Jesus himself is the eternal Son of God. We become sons in the eternal Son, daughters in the eternal Son of God. We become one with him, one spirit with him, 1 Corinthians 6:17. He who has joined himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. And in this place of union in love and in family, where our significance doesn't come from what we can do for God, but comes from who we are as his sons and daughters, and who he is as our daddy, such that if we never did a single thing ever again for him, the Father would still be pleased with us. But there's something about really knowing that that causes us to actually present ourselves as living sacrifices that would say, Father, if you did all of that for me through your beloved son, then there's just absolutely nothing that you could ever ask me to do that would be too much for me to do for you. But would you please strengthen me to do it? Because you're supernatural and this world is natural. And for us to be different to all the other religions in the whole world, you're going to have to come and do supernatural things through us, because every religion could do natural things. In fact, when my parents were missionaries in northern Nigeria for 20 years, all the Muslims outprayed them. Most of the Muslims went to the mosque a lot more consistently than Christians would go to church. They would fast regularly. But you see, they're practicing the religion of Islam. And there are many monks in Buddhism and Shintoism and many other things that are far more dedicated than I have ever been in terms of what I can do religiously for God. They might do all sorts of spectacular things from a human point of view for God, but actually God's not looking for that. That doesn't change the world and turn it upside down. That doesn't manifest the love of God. What manifests the love of God is when God shows up through you and does things that everybody knows you can't do, only He can do. That's what He's really looking for. That's what He's really looking for. And I love this bit where it says, verse 11, and God was doing extraordinary. Everybody say extraordinary. God was doing astonishing miracles. Could everybody say astonishing? When was the last time God did an astonishing miracle through your hands? God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons that had touched his skin were carried away to the sick, and their diseases left them, and the evil spirits came out of them. Can you imagine, okay, if you began to get such a reputation right here in Laguna Niguel, or Laguna Beach, or San Clemente, or LA, or San Diego, or wherever it is that you come from, and I've kind of run out of all the names of all the places in this area because I don't know this area very well. Sorry about that. But can you imagine if in your neighborhood you got a reputation for so much of God's presence, power, and anointing flowing through you, okay, that you were having to make insurance claims left, right, and center for all the clothing that was stolen from you? Like, I know these days, you know, we put things in the tumble dryer now. But just imagine, you know, dial back a little. Just imagine for a moment that you actually didn't do that. That you hung your laundry out to dry, kind of like we used to in the old days, right? And you're hanging it out there, and there's people in the bushes. And you don't realize it, but there's people in the bushes. And you're just merrily hanging them out, you know. You're singing all your favorite Bethel songs, whistling the tunes, and then you go back inside to make yourself a nice, you know, decaf latte or some kind of, you know, special coffee. And while you're in the house, okay, there's rustling in the bushes. And they're running off with it, not because it's, you know, Hermès or Yves Saint Laurent or Calvin Klein or whatever your favorite brands are, you know, not because of any of that. There was just absolutely no value to them whatsoever in how much you paid for that clothing. The value is in the fact that that clothing was on your skin, and they know that you're so anointed and so filled with God. You're so oozing the Father. You're so oozing the Holy Spirit that that clothing, no matter what brand label it has on it, it says, Jesus, the power of the kingdom of heaven brand. And they're like, boom, I'm having that. And I'm running to my grandma because she's got kidney failure. And I'm going to lay that t-shirt straight on grandma's back. And boom, grandma's instantly healed. Come on. Well, guys, we just read that was what was happening. See, the Apostle Paul is a tent maker. And there's a lot of emphasis on tent maker. Great. But he was a tent maker. So when you're making tent, and I've been to Ephesus, it's in Turkey. It's a stinking hot place. So hot in the summer. And there he is. He's working, making his tents like this with all of his buddies. They're all making their tents. And he's got his rags. He's throwing the rag down. And then the people are like, and running off with it. It's an extraordinary story. And then they're taking these simple handkerchiefs that he's wiped his sweat on, I mean, that's enough right there to make Southern Californians' toes curl and think, there's no way I'm getting into that ministry, especially after COVID. But they're taking hold of those handkerchiefs and even his whole apron. That means that at the end of the day, someone got the prize of all prizes. You know, he's finished his work and he hangs up the apron and he goes to the Turkish bath and has a shower. And then somebody that's been waiting all day and said no to all the rags gets the prize of all prizes and puts on the whole apron and runs back with that apron. And there's enough anointing in that apron for the whole of his village, let alone grandma, to get healed. And people are coming and touching that apron, and they're putting that apron on, and people are having fun. And no doubt some of the kids are like, woo, with the apron. And there's just an outbreak of a move of God because of one single apron that the Apostle Paul, so anointed, so filled with the Holy Spirit, was wearing, and his sweat was drenched in it. And then faith in the hearts of the people made them, these are non-Christians, is enabling them to see the power of God moving through the apron and the handkerchief, guys. And Jesus is showing up on the island of Patmos to John, the elderly apostle, and he's saying, guys, Ephesus, I know all of your works. Amazing. Thank you for taking care of the poor. Thank you for taking care of the needy. Thank you for all your toil. Thank you for being so brilliantly true, full of integrity, that you're not putting up with false apostles. Well done. So good. So good. But would you please repent from where you've fallen and get back to the aprons and get back to the rags that are filled with the anointing, that is filled with the Holy Spirit. Get back to that. Get back to that kind of ministry and that kind of faith, because that kind of ministry and faith is what will enable me to turn your world upside down again, just like I did 30 years ago when it all started in Ephesus. And by the way, that church of Ephesus, history tells us that it was probably somewhere in the region of 40,000 members when Timothy, when his life came to an end of leading that church after Paul. 40,000. That's a lot, guys. And you know why it was 40,000? Because they probably took that word seriously. And they repented and they got back to the first love, which was not them trying to be more intimate with Jesus. It was them filled with the Holy Spirit once again and letting God be God in their midst. Let's stand. I want to, before I give an opportunity for you to respond with this message, I want to say this, that a first love church is a church that is baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I'm not talking about the church, Vineyard Laguna Niguel, the church should be baptized in the Holy Spirit. No, I'm talking about the church, you and me, baptized in the Holy Spirit. Does everybody understand the distinction? It's so easy for us to just rely on the church. You know, well, my church, I wish my church was somehow just more full of the Holy Spirit. You know, that's what I wish. I wish my church was just more full of Daddy's love. You know, I just wish my church would just preach the word more. I just wish my church was more generous. Well, I just wish that my church was just more loving. Yeah, I tried finding community at my church. I can't find it anywhere. Let me tell you something. That is not the Holy Spirit. That is the spirit of stupidity. Seriously. It's actually the spirit of licentiousness. It's the spirit of laziness. It's the spirit of non-engagement. That's what that is. It's the spirit of selfishness that says, here I am, everybody. Take good care of me now. It doesn't work like that in love. Love is all about, wow, Father, you've taken such good care of me now. Lord, it's my joy to take care of everybody in the world. But I can't do it without you. I need your love to enable me to do it. So baptize me in a fresh anointing of your love, power, shakaraba. Here I am, Daddy. Baptize me afresh. And baptize my wife afresh. And baptize all my friends afresh. And Lord, help me to stop moaning. And help me to just be filled with your glory. And actually take my position and my responsibility as a member of this church. Help me to take it seriously for once in my life. And baptize me, will you please, Daddy, with a fresh anointing of your presence. When you pray like that to God, man, he gets goosebumps. You know? When you're whinging and moaning back home after service because the worship just wasn't good. Well, dummy, it wasn't for you. It was for Jesus. You know? I hope I'm just having fun with you all. I'm not calling anybody in this church a dummy. I'm really speaking to myself half the time. You know? It's like, guys, church doesn't happen to us. We are the church. And a church that is first love is, number one, baptized in the Holy Spirit. Number two, a church of the first love walks in love. Number three, a church of first love gives that love away. And number four, a first love church multiplies by making disciples. We wait, we walk, we witness, and we win the world. We wait to be clothed in power. We walk in love. We witness through supernatural miracles, signs and wonders. And number four, because of all of that, we simply win the world on accident without even trying. You try to win the world without the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you're just going to get burned out. So, I want to give a bold invitation to each of you this morning. And I want you to ask yourself a question. Just close your eyes and just lift your heads up, because God's up, not down. And he loves your face, not the back of your head. And just with your eyes closed, and let his gaze and his love and his affection beam down on your face for just a moment. You are special. You are greatly, greatly loved. There's no one else like you. No one who can love God like you love him. There's no other but you. And God's not looking for you to be someone else. He loves you. And he wants to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And you don't have to have fasted for hours to be positioned for that. You just have to be one of those with your faces raised to the Lord right now. And he says to each of us this morning, repent and get back to the supernatural miracles. I know all your hard work, but I'm not looking for that. What I'm looking for is I'm looking for you to return to your first love, which is not just your love and works reinvented on a greater degree of intimacy. I'm not looking for that. I'm just looking for you to realize that I want to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And let my power and my daddy's power in you enable you to spend the rest of your life doing extraordinary miracles, even when no one's looking. At work, in your neighborhood, on the beach, in the cafe, in the restaurant. You live in a very hurting, broken world with all your clients that come in that need your help. With all the people that you work with packing boxes. And if that's you and you are like, Lord, I'm all in. I'm all in to lay down my efforts and I'm all in for you to baptize me afresh with the Holy Spirit. And I need your miracle working power so that I can live in the first love paradigm. I want you to just come up here to the front and just receive a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit. Well done. That's just amazing. So many of you. Praise God. I've actually managed to preach this message well enough for it to be a good ending after a very, very good service. The worship was outstanding. Mike did an outstanding job with making room for the Holy Spirit to move in miracles. I was really concerned that I didn't screw up the end. I'm glad I haven't. Come on out to the front. Come on up, everybody. God wants to baptize you with fresh fire right now. Come on up. Just push right up. Push right up, okay? Because there's a lot of people coming. Just push right up. Squeeze up. Squeeze up close enough that if you don't feel any fire, at least you feel the heat of everyone around you. Wow, he's here. I just felt his presence go up. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Fire on them, Holy Spirit. Shikabungu. Shandarabasoto kitarabayende. Ndarabashikende de besoto kitarababayende. Ndaroboshikende de be. Let's begin to speak in tongues for a moment. Thank you. Awesome. Keep coming, Holy Spirit. Normally, I don't ask you to speak in tongues because we're in receiving mode at the moment. We're going to go into receiving mode in just a minute. But I just felt the Lord say, I want you to ask them just to speak in tongues. Just to come out of the natural paradigm and come into that supernatural paradigm of the kingdom. Ndarama sondorobo yendere. Sorabayando. Maybe we could start singing in tongues. Can we sing in tongues? Ndarama soto kitaraba yendere. Shandoroba soto kiendere. Begin to sing out. Lift your voices and sing out in tongues. Sing out in tongues. Sharababa yendere soto. Some of you are going to begin to start speaking in a new language that you've never had before because the Holy Spirit is here. He's baptizing you. If you've never spoken in tongues, just begin to open your mouth and let the joy that's on the inside of you, let it come bubbling up, bubbling up, bubbling up, bubbling up, bubbling up. Ndarama yandere soto kiandere soroba yando orama yandere soto kiando orama yende orabasondoro moyendere yindarama yando orama yande. The glory of God is filling this place. His glory manifesting on your face. Shandara mayando robobo yendere. Sora babayando romo yendere. Orama. Some of you are really getting breakthroughs in tongues right now. Some of you have never, this is the first time you've ever spoken in tongues. Congratulations! You're free! You're free! You're free when you're three! You're free when you're three! Sharaba yando robo yendere. Just lift up your voice! Let it out! There's a sound of heaven in this place! Shandarama yende! Orama yando! Soto kiende sharama orama yendere. So, all right, Holy Spirit, thank you so much. Thank you that many people were just receiving the Holy Spirit for the first time, speaking in tongues for the first time. Lord, I ask you right now that you would baptize us with fire. That you would come now, Lord, and baptize us with fire. And Pastor Mike, would you come up, Pastor Mike? And just begin now just to receive, okay? I don't want you speaking in tongues or saying anything right now. Just with your faces and your hands lifted to the Lord, I'm going to ask Him to come and baptize you with fire and power. Come, Holy Spirit, come and baptize us all with Daddy's love. Come and baptize us with the Father. Baptize us with fire right now, Lord, as only You can. Fire power right now, Lord. More, Lord, more Holy Spirit. Come right now and baptize everybody in this church with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And let this church be filled, be filled, be filled with first love sons and daughters who are full of fire. Shake our banga.
Oh Lord. It's your church. I hope I served you well.
More Lord. Then come. More Lord. Well, Holy Spirit, come. Not by might, not by power, but by Spirit. Fresh dose, fresh life, insight. Come, God. Fresh love. Come, Lord. We yield, Lord. It's not very hard either. We just let You come, Lord. Just let You come. Let Him come. No matter where you're at, no matter whether you feel red hot or stone cold, doesn't matter. Spirit of God makes the difference, and He's here right now. Thank You, God, for Your presence. More, Lord. He's pouring out. We're just making lots of space. Just make some space. You got time to do all kinds of stuff, but just make some space right now because the Lord wants to move. And He moves, He just makes all the difference. So, Holy Spirit, we just welcome You here. We don't earn it. We don't deserve it except by Your name, Your blood, and our faith just coming to be refreshed again. Lord, fill this place. Holy Spirit of God, fill this place. Renew us, Lord. First love, come back. We receive You all over again, Lord. Baptize us in Your Holy Spirit. Immerse us. We yield. We yield. We yield. Just as we come around and we pray a little bit, just be a good receiver. You don't even have to have that. Just Holy Spirit's all over the place. I just love it, Lord, that You're going to do Your works through us. Well, we're stinking and tired of our own work, so I just fill us with Your presence, and then we'll just see what happens. More, Lord, refresh our soul. No more striving. No more laboring. Just love of God, come through us and do Your work. We never could do it anyway, Lord. It's all Yours. Holy Spirit of God, come. It's like the early church. Come. Refresh us wherever we are in the room tonight or today. Wherever we are. In the corner of the room, up in front, doesn't matter. Lord, I pray You'd renew us with Your presence, a sense of compassion, a sense of power, whatever it is, Lord. More, Lord, come, more, more. Keep coming, Lord. We're just yielded. We're yielded to You. We're tired of our own work, Lord, our own works, Lord. Do Your works through us. Give us a hug. Pray You'd hug Your people. Talk to their heart. Tell them they're going to be okay. Power of God be on you. Some of you are ripe for the lovely presence of the Lord on you. It's just such a nice thing. You're ripe. You're just right there ready. The Lord's been more than ready for a long time. Lord, I love that first love that comes from the first love of God. The first love works, Lord. Just come through us. Lord, take our souls and just refresh them. Lord, we just want to be refreshed. We're tired of our own work, tired of our own stuff, and tired of the devil yakking at us. Do this, do that, do this, do that. Lord, we just say, Lord, You did it all. And now we receive You. Now do it through us, Lord God. Lord, right now, revive our soul. Renew our spirit, Lord. Lord, and let us return to where we were and the way we are, who we really are, Lord. Who we've been all this time, Lord. More, Lord. Pour out, pour out, pour out, pour out, pour out, pour out, pour out. While he's pouring out, he's also healing. So if you need a healing, just say, Holy Spirit, come on me. If you need healing some way, migraine, headaches, I could feel the Lord lifting that horrible torment off of you, just of headaches that come and go. Lord, I could see, Lord, ulcers and perennial conditions, pain in somebody's knees and some kind of back injury that you've had and along the neck and down to the spine. Lord, we don't work for, we just yield to you, and Lord, take us and renew us and then send us out again, Lord, with the fire of God on us. To our neighbors and to our families, Lord, we just take this time to be good receivers like the early church. More, Lord, more.
Hey, thanks so much for joining us. We're so glad that you made it. If you have questions or would like more information about our church, go to vineyardln.com, and we'll see you next time.